Good morning, Yud Chodesh. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, Hishtav refuah shleim v'sor she'achol Yisrael b'korov. So we were discussing why the Mishnah Berurah himself says that people were not makpid about chodosh. So he started saying that it was difficult to tell where the tour is from, and in greater detail, there are places where wheat, chitim, but it could be any of the Chamesh Smine Dogon. But there were places in particular in Eastern Europe where wheat was a winter crop and other places where it was a summer crop. Now, if it was a winter crop, then it was planted in, it was sown in El time, Tishri Chesvan time, and it was already Nishrash long before Nisan. So therefore it was always Yoshan, it wasn't a problem. But there were other places where chitim were a summer crop. When they were a summer crop, and in those days, in fact, the Mefarshim say, in those days they didn't know when chitim arrived. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah himself speaks about the arrival of the Mesilas HaBarzel, of the train. And he says that as long as wheat, as long as the five mini dogon that people used to eat, was locally produced, it was in the fields nearby or the fields in that particular country, and then it was brought over locally and sold on the markets, then we had an idea of whether or not this was a winter crop or whether it was a summer crop. If it was a winter crop, then it was already Nishrash long before Nisan, and there was nothing to worry about. It was all Yoshon. If it was a summer crop, then it was planted in Nisan. It was planted in the spring, and therefore it could be Chodosh, and have to wait till next year. So that was Bismanov. But now he says, with the arrival of Mesilas HaBarzel and Kol Shekein today, with ships and planes and all the other means of transport that there are, when a crop arrives, well, let's take it in stages. When crops were arriving from all over the world, you've got a suffix in every crop, whether or not it's a summer crop or winter crop. When was it planted? Was it Nishrash before Nisan, or wasn't Nishrash before Yom Hoime? That was the crucial matter. Therefore, it was kosher lahavchin, says the Chofetz Chaim. People poshut didn't know whether or not every piece of grain was a suffix, whether or not it was Yoshon or whether or not it was Chodosh, because we didn't know where it was coming from. Today, things have gone the other way around. Today, although things come from all over the world and might be summer crops and might be winter crops, but things come with dates and things come with computer tracking and things come in such a way that we can actually find out and we can know. Which is why Bismanenu, Akshadora, the Baruch Hashem, because we have the ability to trace the crops and to know what is Yoshon and what is Chodosh, the Bote Dinim do the research and they let us know. And that's probably one of the reasons why, although the Chofetz Chaim says that Bismanom, it was so difficult to tell, and everything was a sophic, and therefore you could rely on Sveika and double Sveikas, etc., which we started to discuss already. But Bismanenu, we don't have that problem. Bismanenu, we know where stuff is coming from. Every crop comes with a maiden. We know which country it came from. Very often it's got a batch number on it, and we can trace the batch number. We can find out. And therefore we know what is Yoshon and what is Chodosh. And therefore today it's easy for us to keep a mitzvah, which previously was very difficult to keep.
Started the tour in Northwest London. Tuesday, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Aleph Iyar, 29th of April, Rabbi Alex Hull Schlitter, in search of the lost cities of Stone and Amora. This week's story is sponsored by Family Hull, the Kvod Simchan Asum of Chesky Hull, Mary Yohan Malki Neufeld, Shatechi is Chasad Replace, Esther Yorzum, Shivna Baistem of Israel, Shem Lissilov, Lissus Hashem, Vachayulim Amil Chamo, Shachsul Vatahem, Lishalom Bim Heiro.
The Gemara in Brachos says that one comes across the pillar of salt, that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. If one comes across that pillar of salt, one makes two brachos, one on the miraculous escape of Lot and the miracle that happened to Lot's wife as well. This Gemara is not brought down in Rambam, in the Sefer Yad. And evidently the reason is because at the time of the Rambam, the location of the pillar of salt was no longer with us, and therefore it's not relevant, this Gemara, because we can't make the bracha because we don't know where the pillar of salt is. Throughout the generations, as time has gone by, not only has the pillar of salt disappeared from our knowledge, but the actual location of the cities of Sodom and Amorah have evaded us. And this is an archaeological enigma. Researchers have tried to track down these lost cities, but to no avail. But the question is, have the archaeologists been looking in the right place? Well, let us consider. The straightforward understanding is to look for Sodom and Amorah in the far south of the Dead Sea. Because firstly, it would seem to be common knowledge that the Dead Sea was once a basin, a dry basin, that the Pasuk tells us, and eventually became the Dead Sea. And it would seem common knowledge that the reason that the way it became the Dead Sea was with after the overthrow of Sodom and Amorah. It rained down heavily and with sulfur and salt, and that actually turned the area of Sodom and Amorah to a massive sea of salt and sulfur. So somewhere in the Dead Sea would be the cities of Sodom and Amorah. Now, we also know that one of the cities was Tsoar. Lot actually fled to Tsoar. Tsoar was the fifth city, was because it wasn't so bad as the rest. It was spared, and Lot escaped to Tsoar. And we're told in the Gemara Pesachim that Tsoar is actually 5 Hebraic mil from Sodom. 5 Hebraic mil is about 5 kilometers. So where is Tsoar? We know where Tsoar is. We should know where the area of Sodom and Amorah are. Now, Tsoar is a famous place. There's a mosaic, which is a well-known mosaic, which describes from the time of Chazal, which has shows where Tsoar is at the far south of the Dead Sea. And this is also indicated in the Pasuk, where Lot had a look, when he actually chose to move away from Avram and went to Sodom, he first looked at the Kikar Yarden, which stretched down all the way until Tsoar, and which is at the bottom of the Dead Sea, from what we know. And this Josephus also tells us that, and he identifies it with the city which is known as Sephi, an ancient city which is well known, and that is the place for Tsoar. So we should be looking for the Sodom and Amorah at the far south of the Dead Sea, next to this area which is identified by the archaeologists called Sephi. However, although there's major investigations have been done there and digs, but nothing has come up, no sign whatsoever of these ancient cities. There have been 5 cities which archaeologists do identify as the 5 cities which were which made up Sodom and Amorah and the neighbouring cities, 4 of them which were destroyed. They are as follows, in the order of, as mentioned in the Torah, they're described as identified as Bab Edra, Numeira, Safi, Tsoar, in other words, Fefa, and Kanazir. This is identified by Bryant Wood as Sodom, Amorah, Tsoar, Admor, and Tsvoim, in that order. However, the problem is that Safi is about 28 kilometers from Bab Edra, and Chazal tell us it was 5 kilometers. Furthermore, Bab Edra and Numeira were abandoned several hundred years apart. They weren't destroyed at the same time. Thirdly, Bab Edra was not destroyed by fire. We were told it was destroyed by the raining and the devastation of the sulfur and the salt. This is not what the archaeological report says about the destruction of Bab Edra. We also are informed by the Medrash that all the cities were on one plateau of rock. So these cities, which are identified by the archaeologists, does not fit at all with the Psukim or with the Divrei Chazal. And the reason is because the far south of the Dead Sea is the wrong place to look for Sodom and Gomorrah. How do we know this? Because we're told that the four kings came to attack the five kings, and they came down from the north, and they went and conquered all the way, past the Dead Sea, went down to Seir, and then they came back, and they arrived at Chatzoson Tomor. Now Chatzoson Tomor, the Pasuk in Divayomim says, is actually Ein Gedi. Ein Gedi is a very well known, it's an oasis, I think it's about 60 kilometers north from the bottom of the Dead Sea. And it's a famous place. And there's no doubt about the location of Ein Gedi and Chatzoson Tomor. And this is where they arrived off coming north all the way down to the end of Seir, which is originally by Eilat. And then they went back up north until they got halfway up where the Dead Sea area is, until they came to Chatzoson Tomor, which is Ein Gedi. And only then did they confront Sodom and Amorah, and that's where they had the battle. So now, if Sodom and Amorah was at the far south of the Dead Sea, they would have encountered the kings of Sodom and Amorah long before they got to Chatzoson Tomor. So if we're looking for Sodom and Amorah, it has to be somewhere further north of the Ein Gedi. It's further north of 60 kilometers from the south of the Dead Sea. So that's quite far away. So really the archaeologists are completely in the wrong area, and it's no surprise why they haven't found anything. Now, in recent years, a new identification has been made, which does actually seem to fit with the indications which we have from Chazal, because we have actually an indication that it's actually further north than Chatzoson Tomor. Sodom and Amorah are further north from Chatzoson. How do we know this? Because after the battles of the four and the five kings, Lot was captured by the four kings and taken away. And Avraham Avinu went to try and bring back Lot, and he actually did that. He managed to defeat the four kings single-handedly with Eliezer, his faithful servant. And he then actually chased them all the way to Damascus. Damascus is where there's only one Damascus throughout the history, Damascus. Damascus, was where Eliezer came from, actually. This Damascus is in the far north. It's way beyond Tiveri, the Kinneret. And he went as far as Damascus, chasing the four kings. And then he came back down, and he met the king of Sodom as he came back down south to return Lot to where he should be. And after he met the king of Sodom, he went further down and came to Yerushalayim, and the Shem, the Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, came out to greet him. So since we find that when Avram was coming down from the north from Damascus, he first met the king of Sodom, and only afterwards he met the king of Yerushalayim, so that would indicate that Sodom must be actually further north of Yerushalayim, and therefore the king of Sodom, which just ran to the mountains next to Sodom, he encountered Avram Avinu before Avram managed to get down south to Yerushalayim. So now, if it's going to be north of Yerushalayim, if you look at your map, Yerushalayim is almost at the top of the Dead Sea. So we're getting very close to the end of the Dead Sea northwards, right? And it has to be north of that, north of Yerushalayim, in order to fit in with the indications from the Psukim. And there is actually a place which has been identified in recent years which does seem to fit this identity. The place is called Tal El Hamam. It's actually north of Yerushalayim and just northeast of the Dead Sea in modern-day Jordan. Researchers present evidence that around 3,700 years ago, the city was hit by a cosmic airburst that had more energy than 1,000 atomic bombs which were sent to Hiroshima. Although this claim has been challenged, so it is debatable. However, even if so, further introspection reveals this identification must be ruled out. Firstly, although the land was ruined for hundreds of years, as one would expect for such an explosion, but the site, according to the archaeologists, was re-inhabited 600 years later. Yeah, we're told in Devarim that there will no grass will ever grow in the area which was Sodom and Gomorrah, and Yirmiyahu in chapter 49:18 implies that it will never be inhabited again. That is one reason why Tel Alaman could not be Sodom and Gomorrah. Number two, there is no evidence of any other cities around this area. It wasn't just Sodom. There were five cities there. There is no ever indication of any kind of other city within the vicinity. Number three, Sodom and Gomorrah are listed as the borders of Canaan. At the end of Parshas Noach, Sodom and Gomorrah are actually part of the borders. The Pasuk tells us the borders of Canaan, Eretz Canaan, and part of the borders was Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah therefore must be on the western side of the Jordan, because we know Eretz Canaan was on the west of the Jordan. Klal Yisrael came from the eastern side of the Jordan, and he went over, they crossed the Jordan to the west and entered into the land of Canaan. So the land of Canaan must be in the west of the Jordan. This place, Tal El Aman, is actually located to the east of the Jordan River. So it could not be Sodom and Gomorrah. Another problem is that the Pasuk says that when Avram told Lot to separate, and Lot actually went to Sodom, it says, Vayisa Mikedem. He traveled from the east. In other words, he went to the west. If he was going to the west, so we know that the time where Avram spoke to Lot and they separated each to their own path, they were actually between Beis Kel and Ai. This is the Pesukim, it's in Lecha Kotela. Now, we know from the Pesukim in Yeshua that both Beis Kel and Ai are on the other side of the Jordan in Eretz Yisrael, as we know it today. Ai was one of the cities which they captured after they crossed the Jordan River. And Avram and Lot were actually situated between Beis Kel and Ai. Beis Kel was to the west and Ai was to the east. So they were somewhere to the west of the Jordan River. They were even further west than Ai. And that's when they separated. And it says that Vayisa Mikedem, Lot traveled from the east and went to the west. So Sodom must be somewhere west of Ai, and definitely not east of the Jordan River. So that leaves us with a problem. Where could Sodom and Gomorrah be? Well, we have another indication where Sodom and Gomorrah must be. And in fact, it's even further north than Yerushalayim. We know this because Avram told Lot, he gave him an ultimatum. He said, listen, we have to split up. They had a feud between the Roi Lot and the Roi Avram. And Avram said as follows. He said, either you go to the right and I'll go to the left, or you go to the left and I'll go to the right. Now, Targum says that the right is north.
Where did Avram live?
At the moment they were actually between Beis Kel and Ai. So Beis Kel is, we know where Beis Kel is as well. It's close to Shechem, and Ai is just bits further north of the beginning of the Dead Sea. So they were just close to the Dead Sea, just the north of the Dead Sea. And there Avram said to Lot, either you go to the right or and I'll go to the left, or you go to the left and I go to the right. Now, in Hebrew, what does Yamin and what does Smol mean? Because Kedem is east, the front is east, so when I'm facing the east, so to my right is... So my right is the south?
Yes.
Yeah, so my right is the south, and north is to my left. So to my left, right? That's the east. That's right. My love, yes, exactly. So going left would be north. So what did Lot choose? Did he choose going south or did he choose going north? Well, we know what he chose because from Avram, we know what Avram did. Avram went he went to settle in Hebron. Now we know where Hebron is. Hebron's a famous place. It's south of Beis Kel. It's south of Yerushalayim. So Avram went south. So according to this, if Avram went south, so Lot went north. So Lot must have gone north of Beis Kel. Okay, so now we know that Sodom and Amorah is not just north of Tzoya, it's at the bottom of the Dead Sea. It's also north of Chatzetzon Tomo, which is Ein Gedi. It's not only north of Ein Gedi, it's north of Yerushalayim, which is almost parallel with the top of the Dead Sea. But it's even further north than that. It's further north than Beis Kel, which is closer to Shechem, which is quite far north, beyond the Dead Sea. So we have two questions, firstly, to address. How can this be? If we know there's a well-located place, Tzoya, we have this mosaic from the times of Chazal, which mentioned Tzoya, and the Psukim actually say that that Lot looked at the Kikar Hayada, which stretched all the way down to Tzoya, which clearly indicates that the far south there is a Tzoya, and this has actually been identified as Sefri. So, and we know from the from the Gemara in Psukim that Sefri is actually 5 kilometers away from Sodom and Amor. Well, the answer to that is, yes, there is a Tzoya at the far south of the Dead Sea, but it's not the Tzoya which was next to Sodom. In fact, at the time when Lot chose Sodom, this was the Tzoya which he went to, which was next to Sodom, was not yet called Tzoya. It was actually called Bela. Melech Bela was one of the kings. This is one of the five cities. Only at the time of the destruction of Sodom, this city called Bela got a new name. The name was Tzoya. That Pasuk tells us, why was it called Tzoya? Because it was spared, because its sins were smaller than the rest of the other cities, and that's why it was spared, and that's why it got the name Tzoya. So it actually got the name only at time of the destruction of Sodom. So this was not the Tzoya which was at the far south of the Dead Sea. That was at the time was already called Tzoya at the time when Lot went to Sodom. But the Tzoya which was next to 5 kilometers from Sodom was next to Sodom. There we find Sodom, we'll also find where that Tzoya is. Another question is, so what's going on here? If Sodom and Amorah are north, further north than the Dead Sea, they're even further north than Beis Kel, so the Dead Sea is not Sodom and Amorah. A contrary to popular opinion that the Dead Sea became the Dead Sea because of the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Well, it actually doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that Sodom and Amorah were formed because of the destruction of the Dead Sea. However, there is a Gemara, twice put with a Tosefta in Sukkah and a Gemara in Shabbos, which does mention that the Dead Sea is called the Yamos Shel Sodom. So we have to understand, if it wasn't Sodom, why is it called the Yamos Shel Sodom? Well, if we get to our location of Sodom, we may be able to understand why the Dead Sea is called the Sea of Sodom. So let's try and locate where Sodom and Amorah is. If we get back to our trail, we're looking for a place which is further north than Beis Kel. Okay, so we have other three indications of where to look. Number one, very interesting, although the Pasuk says that Lot chose when he went to choose where to go, and he went to Sodom, to settle in Sodom, he looked and saw the Kikar HaYarden, because Kulo Maske, Lifnei, with the fate of the destruction of Sodom, and he chose this place, and one would expect that obviously he went to the Kikar HaYarden. However, it doesn't mention the possible, when it talks about Lot going, it doesn't mention he went to the Kikar HaYarden. It just mentions the Kikar. And in fact, throughout the Pesukim, and I think four times, when the Pesuk talks about the destruction of Sodom and Amora, it mentions the Ore HaKikar, but not once does it mention Kikar HaYarden. And we actually know this as well, because as we said before, when Lot left Avram, it says Vayisa Mikedem. He left the Kikar HaYarden because the next to Ai was the Kikar HaYarden, that's where the Red Dead Sea is, and he went westwards. So he actually did not stay by the Kikar HaYarden, although he chose the Kikar HaYarden, but he went to a different Kikar. So what this means is, evidently, that he chose a Kikar which was right next to the Kikar HaYarden. And he chose this Kikar because it could benefit from the luscious grounds of the Kikar HaYarden. So he didn't actually go to the Kikar HaYarden, but he went to a Kikar, a plain, which is very close to the Kikar HaYarden. So that's one indication we have. Number two, we have a contradiction in the Pesukim. One place it says that the destruction of the cities of Sodom was Kol HaKikar was destroyed. The whole Kikar was destroyed. The whole Kikar where Lot was destroyed. However, we find that one of the cities of Sodom, although Lot wanted he was told to go to the mountain to flee, but he didn't want to go to the mountain. And evidently wanted to stay in the Kikar, and the Malach said to him, yes, okay, you're allowed to stay in Tzoyah, we're going to spare Tzoyah. So evidently the whole Kikar was not destroyed, because Tzoyah was one of the cities and that was in the Kikar. So the whole Kikar was not destroyed, yet the Pesuk does say somewhere else that the whole Kikar was destroyed. So what this seems to me is that the two it was destroyed, the width from either west to east, and north to south, there was still a section left over. So when it's talking about, when the Pesuk says the whole Kikar HaYarden, it means the whole width of the Kikar HaYarden, wherever those cities were. But further down the Kikar, there was a place left over, which was evidently where Tzoyah was, which is 5 kilometers away from Sodom. So, okay, so we need to look for a plain which leads on to the plain of the Jordan. We also need to look for a platter of stone. It has to be one big platter of stone, which we're told that destructed cities were all on one big platter of stone. And we need to look for a place which is desolated from west to east or north to south, across the width of this plain. One other indication which we have, and that is, interestingly enough, the Pesuk tells us that when they had this argument, the Roye Lot and the Roye Avram, the Pesuk says, intriguingly, "Vaknai v'prizi hayu ba'oret." They were adain ba'oret. And why does the Pesuk mention the Kanani and the Prizi? Rashi says because it wasn't the time for Avram to, although the land was given to him, but it wasn't the time yet to be able to take the land and infringe on the rights of the Kanani and the Prizi. Now, we know the land of Canaan was made up of seven nations of Canaan. They're actually seven sons of Canaan. And only two are mentioned here. Canaan, which is a collective name for some of the sons, and Prizi, which is one of the seven nations, which is mentioned later on in the Pesukim. Why does the Pesuk only mention these two? Because evidently where Lot was close to the area of Canaan and the close to the Prizi. Of the wider region of Canaan with the other sons, they weren't actually infringing on their rights because they weren't so close to them. So Prizi was right next to where Lot and Avram moved off. Now, Prizi is actually very intriguing. Who was Prizi? If we look at the sons of Canaan, that he had 11 sons, but none of them were called Prizi. Now all the others, Gigoshi, Yavusi, all the ones I've mentioned, the Chithi, are actually the names of the sons of Canaan. But we don't find one of the sons called Prizi. And evidently, Prizi was Sidon, because Sidon was the only name which was collectively taken out from Canaan, which this posuk says, HaKanaani v'haPrizi are Yoshvim Boret. So Prizi was not within the collective a number of sons. He was separated out, and the only one which was separated out was Sidon. Sidon was one but is not mentioned as one of the six or the seven nations of Canaan, and is also not collectively mentioned as we see here, so he must have been Prizi. So we have Prizi with Sidon, so they were very close. Lot was very close to Sidon. Now Sidon was right, one of the borders of Canaan, is what the Pasuk tells us, the borders of Canaan went from, we're told at the end of Noah, it went from Sidon, Vayhi Gvula Canaan mitzidon Boacha Gerora, Ad Azo, Boacha Sodoma Vamira, Ba'ad Mutzvoim Ad Losha. It seems to be the Pasuk is taking a square, following from Sidon, going down to Gerora, which is Arad, according to Taimshin, then to Azar, which is on the west, and then going up to Sodom and Amora, Ad Losha, and which was right next to evidently Sidon. Now, what is Losha? Losha is, although it's mentioned Sodom and Amora, Ad Mutzvoim, there's one city which is not mentioned, which is Bela, which is Soya. But instead it says Losha. Losha has actually the same letters as Bela. It's the Lamed and the Ayin. The only difference is one with a base and one with a shin. And Akbash, a base and shin, are interchangeable. So it seems to be that the Losha here is a code for Bela, which is actually Tsoya. So Tsoya is right next to Tsidon. So if we know now where Tsidon is, we actually know where Losha is, which is Soya, and therefore we know Sodom and Amora. Well, we know where Sidon is because we know where Prizi is. The Pesukim and Yeshua tell us and Beis Shan where they are. And basically, that leads us to the following identification. If you go 35 kilometers north of the Dead Sea, you come to a fork. There's a plain which actually goes to the west. It's just where the mountains of the Prizi are, which is Sidon. There's, if you go further down the plain, it's actually completely desolate, and it's been completely destroyed from the far end. And along the whole area, the sulfur balls are full of salt and clay, which is remnants of the destruction of Sodom. The only thing there is a Nachal Tirzah, which leads into the Dead Sea. Evidently, what happened at the time of the destruction of Sodom, the Nachal Tirzah washed all the sulfur and salt into the basin, which was a dry basin of the Dead Sea. When the Dead Sea became the Dead Sea, when water spilled into it, that's another story. What happened? How did the water spill into it? But then it became the Dead Sea, and that's why it's called Sodom. I would just like to fit this as the Yamash of Sodom. I would just like to finish off. That is referring to the place of the Hafok of Sodom and Amora. The time of Sodom and Amora, although it's not well known, it's actually a medrash. It took place on Tes Zayin Nisan. That's why Lot gave matzahs to the Malachim, because it was Pesach. It was actually Pesach. When Avram came, the next day was the Hafok of Sodom, which was the beginning of the Omen. Now, if the Hafok of Sodom and Amora took place on Tes Zayin Nisan. If we are Mahapech, the Milah, Amora, what do we get? Can anyone tell me? Ha'omer, exactly. So, when the Amora was destroyed, it became Ha'omer. And we have Ha'omer today. Well, this seems to indicate that the hidden meaning behind the counting of the Omer. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the nation was born, but the Torah wasn't given then. The nation had to become one people, and that needed 7 weeks of elevation and consolidation, starting from the very next day. 6 weeks later, they arrived at Har Sinai, the epic level. Vayichan Yisroel neged ahor, as Rashi says, like one man with one heart. And after a week of consolidation of that lofty level, the Torah was then given. Each year we start afresh from the day of the bringing of the Omer, the day that marked the overthrow of the poisonous ideals of Sodom and Amorah, the day that Amorah was upturned and became Ha'omer, to begin the spiritual climb of the destruction of the ideals of the egocentric, self-centered Sedomites and Amorites, to build a friendship, a family and a people as one, in fitting preparation to experience once again the original Kabbalah Satorah, Emet Hashem, Nizkeh Bezeh, Bekorev Mamish.
Yes. I always thought it didn't mean Dafka, right? Whichever way.
Taugen says it's models, Taugen. Oh, Taugen Mugles. Yes, Taugen
Mugles.
Also für den Leben, wenn er eh noch, 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 wen